Amen. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 29. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. 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 Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the authority in which the Lord taught and preached. We pray right now that we would just get just a taste of it this morning, Father God, that the word would go out with the authority of Christ, not the authority of man. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is found in verse 24 through 27. And I thought about Jesus and some of the radical things that he said, and this is as radical as it gets, and it's the conclusion of his great sermon, the greatest sermon that was ever preached. Jesus is saying, you're a fool if you don't listen and do what I say. That's pretty radical. I couldn't say that. None of you guys could say that. But it's not the only radical thing Jesus said, because there's a therefore there. The beginning of verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What was his sayings? Sermon on the Mount. He talked about being poor in spirit. He talked about being truly blessed. He said, blessed are what? The poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn, that are meek. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. And he's eliminating folks. Okay, we believe being blessed is getting something nice, going on a vacation, somebody just giving us something. Oh, girl, I'm blessed. Well, see, Satan will give you something. Okay? He talked about blessed are the merciful. It's hard. It's hard not to be merciful when you receive mercy.
Amen.
We ought to be as merciful as it gets. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. Then he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We talk about all the things he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. And I can go on and on and on. Let me just catch a few more. He said, blessed are those that control their thought lives. Blessed are those that honor their marriage vows. Blessed are those that honor thy word. Blessed are those who store up treasures in heaven. Blessed are those that are the salt of the earth. Blessed are those that are the light of the world. Blessed are those that guard against false prophets and teachers. Blessed are those today who build on a right foundation, on a sure foundation. But then even outside of the Sermon on the Mount, I found some more radical things that Jesus said. I love them. I love to present Jesus as radical. I know some of y'all want to present Jesus as soft and smiley, smiling all the time like the guy in Walmart when you walk in. You know, he happy all the time. Everybody, come on in. So I'm making the world wider. You know, we got Jesus as he's making the world wider. Jesus never delivered it like that. He said, I'm making the world narrow, and it's getting narrow all the time. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And I know Sunday school lesson, some of y'all getting a dose of, you know, a wide road theology. Everybody can get in, everybody's saved, everybody going to heaven. That's not true.
Amen.
That's not true. Jesus said in John 3:16, y'all thought I would get through a sermon without mentioning John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever, there's another whosoever what? Believeth in him. Or doeth the will of God. That's really what the word believeth mean. There's a doing part of believing. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have, or should not perish, but have what? And there are folks under the sound of my voice that don't believe. You know, there's just Christians that don't believe. You know, there's a theology out there. You can be a Christian and not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came down from heaven and was born of a virgin, died, was buried, crucified on Calvary's cross, and rose from the grave. You can be a Christian and don't even believe that. That they're teaching that. Jesus told Nicodemus, listen, you must be born again. And he was difficult. Jesus was difficult. Y'all, some of y'all think, well, Pastor, you difficult. I'm not difficult. I'm not difficult enough. Now, you know, Jesus told a group of rich folks, people that had wealth, and all of us in here do. See? Not just see, we think about Gloris working at Wendy's. You know, if Gloris took her salary from Wendy's to Mexico, she'd be in the top 20%. She'd be wealthy as can be. Jesus told a group of wealthy people, you know, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man enter the kingdom of God. You know, that's some serious stuff. Let me give you one more. Mark 9:31. I just think this is one of the most radical statements you're going to hear Jesus say. Because he said some things, and I'm going to wrap this up, this opening. But this is interesting. Mark 9:31. Look what Jesus says. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Isn't that interesting? After 3 days, rise again. Pretty radical stuff. You know, I thought about this and I was thinking about Jesus calling him foolish. He said, it's a foolish man. Don't believe this. Now, you know, I think about the old Rocky, 1982. Rocky had a guy he was fighting. His name was Mr. T. They called him Clubber Lane. But he was Mr. T, you know, and Mr. T talks some stuff. He was talking big. And he was talking big to Rocky and knocked him out the first time in the fight. But Mr. T had a saying, and y'all know it if y'all can go back there. Some of y'all, 1982, some of y'all wasn't born 1982, but some of you seen the Rocky movies and know Mr. T. But Mr. T said this. He said, I pity the fool. And in a sense, Jesus is saying the same thing here. He said, I pity the fool who don't believe my teachings. And as a preacher of the gospel, I really have to buy that. I have to believe that. If I don't believe that, I can't teach it. I can't preach it because I pity folks that don't believe. Amen. I pity folks that are getting married that don't believe. I don't know what's going to hold your marriage together. I see folks get in relationships, and I'm like, what are you building that relationship on? Because when the storms come, and when the rain comes, and when the winds blow, how you going to stay together? You need something special. And it is as a church. I listen to Jeremy pray. As a church, when the winds blow, the wind's going to blow on this church. And the storm's going to come, and the rain's going to come. And how are we going to be a church?
Amen.
How are we going to be a church if we're not founded on that rock that's called Christ?
Amen.
Jesus was radical. And I love him as a radical, militant guy. Not like this, what you see in the NFL, not that kind of stuff. I don't know about, he was dogmatic about what he taught and who he was. And if we don't believe it, I pity the fool. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things, these sayings of mine, and do them. There we go. And do them. And do them. Folks, listen, I guess the question you have to ask yourself, and I say it all the time, when you hear scripture being read to you, and when you hear scripture being preached to you, you know, don't just be a hearer only. You have to ask yourself, am I doing, now, am I doing the will of God? Am I doing what I hear? Or I'm just a hearer only? See, that's interesting. Because I have to ask myself that all the time. I'm always being confronted by the scripture because I'm always praying and studying. And I'm always being confronted. The question is, are you doing the will of God? Or you're here? Because hearing ain't enough. Hearing is not enough. See, when we think we can hear the word of God, and it's just like, I get the deer hunter illustration, in one ear, out the other, we're going about doing our own thing. Okay? We must do what God has called us to do. Okay? And you know what? God gives us the power to do it. Will we fall sometimes? Absolutely. Will we struggle with truths of the Bible? Absolutely. Well, sometime when we get wet, absolutely. Those two houses that was built, they got wet. The wind blew on both of them. Okay?
Amen.
They both went under it. They both felt it. But one stood and one didn't. Let's talk about that. How are the sayings of Jesus, how can the sayings of Jesus help us? Help us. How many here need help other than me? You think about the word of God, you think about what Jesus was saying here, and he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken unto him a wise man. A wise man. A wise man. What's a wise man? A wise man understands. Jesus, as a carpenter, would have understood what was happening, what environment he was building his house in. Any of us ever build anything outside, we look at it. We look at the terrain, what's going to happen, what's necessary. Putting in footers and different things. You have to make sure that the foundation is what? Solid. Sound. How do we make sure our foundation is sound? By the word of God. By the word of God. Paul, in writing to Timothy and writing to the church and making sure that the church was going to be built on a solid foundation, Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, all scripture, Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. There's a instructional part that goes with setting your foundation. And then the question begs to be asked again, what kind of foundation am I built on? What kind of foundation am I built on? What's going to happen to me when the storms come? And they're coming.
Amen.
Listen, folks, they're coming. They come in. The word of God says, rain, the rain, we talked about this before. The rain represents God's what? Affliction comes from above. That's the normal aging process. Okay? This body going to wear out. And that's just natural. If you live long enough, the body going to wear out. Teeth gonna fall out, hair gonna fall out.
Amen.
Just the aging process. Okay? Eyes gonna get bad. I was talking to somebody this morning. I'm just struggling with this eye. Okay. We all gonna struggle with our eyes if we live long enough.
Amen.
Okay. Floods of persecution. Talk about family. Some of us going through right now because family. Okay. Folks that we brought these people into our world. We married, we had children, and sometimes children bring us pain and sorrow. Okay, I talked about Mr. Dunleavy and what he's going through with his family. And his mom and dad, both aging and both struggling with onset things. Keep him in prayer. Because one day Jill going to be taking care of him the same way. I watched my dad, and I struggled with some of the same things, man, that my dad struggled with. Okay? That's just the process. That's just how it comes. The floods of persecution, it comes. It comes. And then you have mysterious stuff that happens. Just Satan going to constantly attack you. Okay? Job talked about the wind. When God allowed Satan to deal with Job's family, Satan came how? As a whirlwind, as a wind, and just wiped them out. Wiped them out. And sometimes with the winds of persecution always swirling around us, even as believers, we always should be cognizant of the wind of persecution swirling around us. But you know what? We ought to be like the wise man. And the Word of God talks a lot about the wise man, and you don't have to go no further than Solomon, what Solomon wrote in Proverbs. He talked about a wise man. And some of us in here, when I say wise man, I mean my wise man or wise woman. Okay? Proverbs 9 and 8 talks about a wise man. So a wise man is somebody you can minister to, you can talk to, and they can hear you. Fool can't hear you. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. You tell a fool what they're doing is wrong and they'll hate you for. Who you think you is? You think you better? You know, you did your thing, old man. I'm going to do mine. Well, you don't have to go through everything I went through. Reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will what? Love you. He will, a wise man. A wise man, you tell a wise man what's right, and a wise man will love you. Thank you. A fool will hate you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That's interesting. I was telling the ministers, the men, I said, we got to teach better. We got to preach better. We got to teach better. And just calling them out, we got to do better. We got to do better. If we want our young people in our community and our loved ones to be better, we got to be better. We got to be better men. There's a responsibility that comes with being a man. A lot of men don't want it. Thousands and thousands of them right now, they don't want it. They tailgating. They tailgating. They don't want any responsibility. And that's just of the devil. There's a role that a man must play in his family, in his home, in his community. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. And some things just evil and you know it.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5 says we ought to what? Flee the very appearance of evil. But we like evil. We getting ready for Halloween. They banned all the clowns. Can't buy no clown outfits. I don't know. I know. Jake's party, he had the clown over there. Everybody's seeing that clown now. But we getting ready for Halloween. You're riding down the street now. Halloween like Christmas. People decorating their house. I'm like, they got their Christmas decorations out already. Then I get closer to them. They got spiders and witches and all kind of stuff. Be like a wise man. Why did Jesus say be like a wise man? Because a wise man builded his house on a rock. See, and the house represents our lives. The house represents our lives. And see, we're always building. You're building right now. See, you know, the youngest person in here is building right now. You're building right now. Okay? Now, you talk to some wise old folks up in here. And they'll tell you some of the mistakes they made in the building process. But see, you know, we made some mistakes. The pastor made some mistakes. Minister Brian made some mistakes. Deacon Jeremy made some mistakes. Deacon Oliver and all of us in here, we done made some mistakes in the building process. We had to go back. Tear it down, do some stuff. Then some of us didn't want to tear it down. The Lord had to tear some of us down. Okay? See, the house represents not only our lives, but our hope for eternal life. So if we have a hope for eternal life, then you building on it. And see, this is the problem that Jesus had with those first ones that came to him. They was building all the external stuff on a bad foundation. They had a bad foundation in Matthew 7. Watch this now, 7:22. Stay with me. These folks came to the Lord, and the Lord knew they had a bad foundation. They had some bad theology. And Jesus got them correct, and now he's pushing it here. He said, not everyone that come to me that say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is heaven. These people were coming to him, and they were saying, Lord, Lord. But they weren't doing the Father's will. They was doing their own will. They was doing their own will. They were superficial, and Jesus knew they were superficial. And this is offensive. Because there's a whole lot of folks doing some stuff. And he said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We preached the gospel. We preached it for sure. We didn't preach what thus say the Lord. We beat around the bush and we got the people what they want. People don't want to hear the gospel. You know, they done went to Jesus and said, people don't want to hear the gospel. Uh-huh. What did Jesus say? What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, they're going to come a day when people don't want to hear it.
Amen.
It's coming. He said, they never want to hear it. That's why they crucified me, because they didn't want to hear. They crucified all my apostles, and they crucified all the prophets, because nobody wanted to hear the word of God declared. Amen. So what do we do? What was these folks doing? They was preaching what they wanted to.
Uh-huh.
They was going out and going into the community and asking the people what y'all want to hear.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Seeker friendly, they call it. They go out into the community and say, well, if y'all had to build a church in y'all community, what y'all want?
Yeah.
Oh, no more long prayers, no more long preaching. You know, we want upbeat tempo music. We want to have a party in there with some basketball hoops, you know, and that's what we want in a church. We don't want all that, thus say the Lord, and the Ten Commandments, and you know, Jesus this and Jesus that, and resurrection and repentance. We don't want to hear that. And that's what they was prophesying. That's what they was preaching. And they said, well, we was casting out demons. We was casting out demons and devils, and we did a lot of wonderful stuff. A lot of wonderful stuff. You know, Jesus called him out. And he says this in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him to a wise man. Why is a wise man? What's a wise man going to do? He going to do what God called him to do. Because you know what? On this solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? He's going to do what God called him to do.
Amen.
If he can't do it, he's going to die trying.
Amen.
Do what God, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to do what God called me to do and preach the word. You know, and people say, I don't want to hear that. You know, that's I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. Nobody ever wanted to hear it.
Uh-huh.
People are going to criticize you. I tell these ministers, people ain't going to like you. They're going to hate you. Okay? Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. I don't want to hear that. Don't take it personal. Don't let it go to your heart. Just keep doing what God called you to do. Preach the word. Listen. How's your house? I mean, we have to ask this question. How's the house? Because our house represents us. Can it withstand the storm? Can it withstand the storm? Some of you been through a storm. Say, Pastor, I don't know if my house can withstand a storm. What's the word of God say? Philippians 4, Paul talking to the church who obviously had gone through or was getting ready to go through and needed to understand God has supplied all the materials they needed to build a wonderful house. It says this in Philippians 4:19. He said, but my God, Paul, shall supply what? All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I think that was the main problem with these folks that came saying, Lord, Lord. They didn't go to God for their supplies. They went to themselves. And Jesus called them workers of iniquity. We talk about a wise man. What about a foolish man? We're going to talk about a fool. How does a foolish man build his house? Takes the easy way. See, Jesus was a carpenter. Okay? So him being a carpenter, he'd have looked at the land. And then if you look at Jerusalem, it was on a lot of hills and mountains and valleys and different things like that. So the lazy man, the foolish man would have been represented as a lazy man. He just, you know, smoothed out the sand and put the house up. He just smoothed out the sand and put the house up. And it went up pretty quick. I would imagine it went up a lot quicker than the man who was building his house on a rock. And see, some folks will say, well, you know, that's the reason I don't go to Christian Bible Baptist Church, because they so old-fashioned.
Amen.
Either working through the scriptures. You know, they don't do that. You know, the hip-hop church, we don't do that.
Uh-huh.
We ain't driving through the scriptures and taking 40 weeks to preach through a book of the Bible. Listen, we just get through it. Uh-huh. We having a good time up in here. And he's just plowing through the scriptures. Plowing through the scriptures, just digging. And that's what a wise builder do. He just dig. You look at what happened over in Haiti. Whole country gone just about. Why? Because they were living in really shacks and little houses. There no foundation. And when the wind came, and it came this week. It came and it says over 900 people have died. They just imagine Hades all, it's just paper. They live in huts. They lived in huts. And some of us got Haiti faith. And then when the wind blow, we'll find out who we are. You'll find out who you are. I hear some of the pillars in this church. I watch them go through. I watch them bury their loved ones. I pay attention. And they'll sit back and say, well, you know, I'm waiting for it to fall apart. Waiting for it to fall apart. Waiting for him to fall apart. Huh? What you talking about? What you mean you waiting for him to fall apart? Well, you know, they gotta let it go. Listen, my faith is built on a rock.
Amen.
My loved one had every opportunity to hear the word of God. And in many cases, they love the Lord. So what am I going to fall apart for? I'll be falling apart because I want to be where they at.
Amen.
If I'm going to fall apart, we don't get it.
Amen.
You can tell a lot about somebody's faith and what their house represents and what their foundation represents when the storm comes. I'm watching. And when I see stuff happening in this world, I know one thing for sure, and I tell the men this, we got to preach better. We got to get our people prepared for that evil day.
Yes.
Some of you went through it this week. Many of us went through some stuff this week, seen some stuff, watched some stuff, dealt with some stuff. You know what? How you deal with stuff, a lot of it has to do with how you build your faith. Because the storms is coming. And they may come like tornadoes, hurricanes, floods. You think about them folks down in Florida right now. You think about folks not only in Florida and North Carolina. Some of them losing stuff. Them houses are going under because the literal storms have come, the floods and all that, typhoons, water surges, all that. And then you have the other types of storms. Loss of loved ones, sickness, disease, finances is bad, financial setbacks. Some of us struggling with our finances. Some of us going through. Some of us struggling with our health. Those are storms. Okay, but if you know better, you what? You do better.
Amen.
Bible said 70. The longer you live, the more you're going to see. The longer you live, the more funerals you're going to go to. You better be bare. You better be ready, because a lot of folks die of sickness. Their sickness is based on loss and not being able to deal with things. Then you got that last storm. You got a last storm you got to deal with. Now somebody say, oh, Pastor, if you ain't talking John 3:16, you're talking about Hebrews 9:27. But Hebrews 9:27 is a good verse. Okay. No, a lot of us don't want that appointment. I had a doctor's appointment last week. I went. I could have canceled. How about I give you another one? Instead of 9:27 Hebrews, let me give you this one. Genesis 3:19. It's in the same vein. It says this: in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Okay? Ecclesiastes 3:20. All go unto one place. All are the dust, and all turn to dust again. Final storm. We're all building this life. And the question begs to be asked, what are you building on? Because Isaiah said the flood's going to come. The enemy going to come like a flood. That's what Isaiah said. The enemy going to come like a flood. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Let me tell you something. This is what we're getting ready for. Psalmist David would have known something about it. David's saying this because he knew where his strength come from. And you need strength to handle the flood. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. There he is, my fortress and my deliverer. Psalms 18:1. And my deliverer, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. And I will call upon the Lord, who is what? Worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly man made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. David knew a lot about that. You know, Lydia had built her life on the wrong foundation. Y'all remember Lydia out of Acts 16. Lydia, the Bible says Lydia was a prophetess, proselyte. She believed in the Jewish doctor, which taught no Jesus. Okay? And then in Acts 16:14-15, it says, when she heard Paul talk about the God of the heavens, and God and Paul only preached Christ and him crucified. So when Lydia heard about the God of Paul, the Bible says she constrained them. She constrained them. She constrained them to abide in her house. She wanted to hear more. And she wanted her whole house to hear what Paul talked about. She wanted her whole house to hear what Paul and his entourage preached. You ought to want to hear it. You ought to want to hear it. What are we building? We like Haiti? Are we like Haiti? And I'm not condemning Haiti, but Haiti suffered a great loss because they couldn't withstand the wind, and I'm just using it in that way. Can your life right now withstand a storm? That's a good question. You know, the psalmist, when in Psalms 1, talk about withering. Talk about, you know, when the heat comes, And he's coming. Probably came already. A lot of us been through some stuff and survived. And we only have the Lord to thank. You know, we look back on our lives and what we've been through. Some of us, like myself, buried a mom and a dad. Cindy recently buried a mom and a dad. Claire buried a dear brother, was like a son. Watch Ann bury a mom. Watching Dave go through with his mom and dad, both at the same time. Amen. Are you going to wither? The wise man is like a tree planted by what? The riverside, whose leaf does not wither. Watch this for everybody. Talking about the blessed man. We always talk about being blessed. I think the word is so misused in Christian circles. Amen. Too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I talk to people and they tell me they're blessed all the time. How you doing, blessed? But then I see I'm just that way. I line up stuff. But it says this in Psalms 1. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, when you talk about being blessed, then you want to talk about your surroundings. Okay? You want to talk about the folks you take counsel from. And a lot of our counsel comes from the 46-inch or the 55-inch or the 59-inch or in some cases the 70-inch flat screen, HD. Watch this now. His delight. There's a great word. There's a great biblical word. His delight is in it. Delight meaning what? Joy and happiness and satisfaction. You know, folks ought to be so happy to have a Bible. Amen. Say, folks ought to be like, I have a Bible. I have the word of God. And here's this blessed person. Somebody tell you they're blessed. And you ask them, when the last time you read your Bible? And you say, oh, you one of them. You ain't one of us. I'm blessed without the Bible. How can you be blessed without the Bible? Okay? All blessed people love the Bible. All blessed people want a revelation from God. All blessed people want to hear from the Lord. Amen. All blessed people want to do God's will. All blessed people find happiness in Him. All blessed people. So that's why I'm blessed. Listen. Blessed person. But this blessed person says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law do he meditate day and night. He's on it. Really, what he's saying is, I got an issue. I got to go to the Word of God. Something's bothering me. Something that's happened to me. I've been challenging my thinking. I've been challenging my life. I'm facing a storm. I'm facing the wind. I'm facing the flood. Let me get to God's Word and get some help. Because the blessed person helps come from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. Why is his delight in the law of the Lord? Because his answer is there. I got an answer for all my problems, all my situations, anything I need, I got an answer. It's all there. What should I do about this? How should I handle this? Open up the scriptures. Open up the scriptures. Walk in the counsel of God and not the ungodly. Walk in the counsel of God. How should I handle this? What should I do about this? That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Kids is crazy. It's in the Bible. Okay? Listen, when you do that, when you go to the Lord, when you meditate day and night on the Lord, the Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know what? You go down to Hades and you go to Florida. The trees getting knocked over aren't the ones closest to the water. It's the ones inland where there ain't a whole lot of water. Where you know they are inland. You get there, you get right up on that water. Them trees is deep roots. Roots go way down. See, a lot of folks come to church and they don't work on the root system. Okay, they don't go down deep. They just, you know, they surfacing and they just show. Okay? They don't want to get deep. They don't want to get deep. I had a preacher tell me, you know, go deep before you sprout up. Amen. I knew exactly what he meant. He said, go deep before you sprout up. See, a lot of us, you know, I've been called. Okay. Nothing wrong with being called, but the call should be to go deep. Okay? The call should be to get deep. Okay, get deep. Get your root system in, because the storms is coming. And the wind gonna blow, and you got that little lightweight Christianity, it's gonna topple over. Amen. It's gonna topple over. Because this gets thankless, you know. And folks looking for a fortune and fame, preaching the gospel, you're not gonna get it. Okay? Not gonna get it. This thankless work. I tell these ministers all the time, this thankless work. Folks don't appreciate good Bible preaching. They rather, you know, that showmanship. You start getting down and dirty in the gospel, and folks will turn you off in a heartbeat. Y'all know it too. Claire laughed, and she know I won't hear that. Who playing at y'all church? They more interested in the musician than the preacher. They don't want to hear no preaching. Then the preaching comes, time to go. Go to a funeral. You know, they sing. Soon the band get up to preach, to open the Bible, everybody leaving. That's how it goes. His delight is in the word of God. The man of God. The woman of God. The child of God. Wouldn't it be nice to have some of these young people delighting in the word of God? Just God is something to see young people just fill the church, coming to Bible study and learning. And then we wonder why so many of our young people, so many young people. How can someone talk any of you into trying heroin for the first time? You see the devastation. You see the devastation that alcohol and drugs do, and somebody can just, let's go get drunk. Let's go get high. Let's try this. It's in here. And I see it all the time. You know, be 30, 40 years old trying drugs for the first time. DUIs out the gazoo. It's rare to talk to somebody that don't have a DUI anymore. Y'all think I'm joking. Everybody is like normal. Let's try this. And you know, they legalizing it. They legalize. They're going to legalize marijuana in Ohio. And folks going to be talking, let's get high. Let's smoke. Everybody's smoking. And it's just a gateway drug. Sooner or later, that ain't going to turn you on no more. You're going to have to go somewhere else. Yeah, right. Now they're lacing it up. You don't know what you're going to smoke. First time. And you know what? And some folks in here is hearing me. They hear me right now, still going to do it. Amen. Folks hear me on the radio. Listen, that old man, I'm getting high. Okay, what do you say? You know, let me move on. Peter, walking with the Lord and his disciples. And they walked by all these idols. They was in Philippi, Caesarea. And they walked by all these idols. I'm in Matthew 16 and 13. And they walked by all these idols. They, you know, it's sort of like going down Market Street or Belmont. You see all these churches. They all believe something different. All these, you know, you got the Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, you got the Jewish Community Center, you got the Islamic Society, Rastafarians, they all got all this stuff being bombarded. And a lot of black folks started, I want to be a Rastafari. I'm a Rasta. Listen, Bob Marley and Snoop Dogg are the spokespeople. Uh-huh. There's a problem when your leader is Snoop Dogg. Amen. When Snoop Dogg is the face of Rastafari, problem. But I'm Rasta. Jesus, the Bible says here in Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, and like I'm asking you, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a legitimate question, and you have to ask yourself, who is Jesus to you? Why am I in church? And I can preach a, I guarantee I can preach a mega church empty in a month. I know I could. You give me a church with 10,000 members, and they call me and say, Pastor, if I had to leave y'all, I'm leaving y'all for a mega church. Say, can you come preach for a month? My pastor just had open heart surgery. I love to. Ms. Bryant, take over, because I'm going to preach this mega church empty. I probably get 1 week. Because I'm going to ask them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He almost gave them the answer in the question. You can't help but ace this. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon, now this has got to be your answer. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, let's stop there. What's he saying? What's he saying that's so important? He's saying, here we go. Thou art the Christ that come from heaven to die for the sins of the world, to offer us forgiveness of our sins so we won't have to die and go to heaven. That's what Peter asked. That's Peter's answer. John 3:16. I didn't want to say it. I'll wear you off with John 3:16. Oh my goodness, because it just flows. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. Now, there you go. Your blessed friends. Your people, yeah, I'm blessed. Wait, hold on. Are you blessed? Do your faith line up with Matthew 16:13-20? Because a lot of folks say they're blessed. They're not saved. They're just doing good. They're not in a storm. See, they idea of being blessed is if a month ago somebody would ask Claire, say, Claire, how you doing? She said, blessed. They said, how could you be blessed? You going to the hospital every day. Your brother is dying. You mean to tell me that circumstances mess with your blessing? Yeah, I'm blessed. I'm not blessed because of that situation. I'm blessed because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came down from heaven to die for our sins. And whosoever believeth should not perish but have eternal life. And I believe. And that's why I'm blessed. My blessing ain't got nothing to do with my circumstances. Because we all going to get through here. We all going to die. And somebody, well, because I'm going to die, that means I ain't blessed. No. Dying going to hell mean you ain't blessed. Amen. Dying going to heaven mean you blessed. Yeah. See, and this is what Jesus said unto Peter. He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. Okay? But I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Now, I'm not going to go into all that, but that rock-like statement. Not Peter. Okay? Not Peter. Some folks say, you know, Peter is the first pope. Yeah. No. Peter made a rock-like statement. Amen. He says, Peter says this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah. That's it. Believe that? You're on your way. you're on your way. That's the foundation. The only foundation is Christ and Him crucified. Well, Pastor, how do I withstand the test? How do I build my foundation? What do I need to do? Accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've done that. Is there any more? Well, maybe. Peter said this. See, Peter was rolling now. Okay? After he made that rock-like statement, Peter fell. But when Peter came back and preached, and when God restored him and he started preaching, here's what he said in 1 and 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 and 5. Peter said this. You want to build your foundation? You want to make sure it's strong? I want mine strong. Because I get it. I go through some stuff. And the winds of temptation is always flying around. Okay? Then you're dealing with the whole aging process that's coming from heaven. Then you got family mess all the time, family stuff. Okay? And you need to be strong, and you need to be battle tested. Peter says this, 1 Peter 1 and 5, and besides this, do I got the right verse? 2 Peter 1 and 5, I'm sorry. And besides this, 2 Peter 1 and 5, I hope I'm right. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, godly power, and to virtue, knowledge. You can't get knowledge if you're not studying.
Amen.
Okay, the word of God, study to show yourself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, see, because you're going to be tested. Y'all being challenged on Sunday morning. They talks to me. Minister Brian talks to me. I know. Ann's daughter coming in there giving y'all the blues. She coming in there with her own theology, and she like adamant about it. You know what? I honestly sit here. I wish some of y'all was as adamant about what you believe as she is. See, a whole lot of folks, a whole lot of Christians, we just, well, whatever. We not study. We not. You run into a Jehovah Witness. Most of us couldn't handle one. He said, add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God. Knowledge of the scriptures. Knowledge of the resurrection. Knowledge of repentance. Knowledge of forgiveness. Knowledge of grace. Knowledge of mercy. Add to this. We ain't had nothing. We know, you know, he's like, you go to Five Guys. Maybe Glorissa get a job at Five Guys next. So you go to Five Guys. And now they give you a double hamburger and a bun, and they a whole line of food. You can add on. Now many of us would be like, we ain't put nothing on our hamburger. We ain't put nothing on our hamburger. We get to heaven, we ain't got nothing on our hamburger. Okay? Now you look, the next guy coming through, he put, you know, onions and the mushrooms and the mustard and the sauerkraut. His hamburger like this.
Yeah.
He can't even buy it. He got to spread it out and eat it. See, we're not adding nothing. And we got a little double cheeseburger fake. Nothing on it. I'm like, you ain't adding nothing. You've been saved for 30 years and you got that much faith? Don't know nothing. Been in church all your life. Don't know nothing. Peter said, listen, let me tell you something. This is why I tell my ministers and deacons and those that would teach here, teach better.
Amen.
Teach stronger with conviction.
Amen.
And to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think what Peter's saying, how dare you say you a child of God, you a man of God, you a woman of God, and don't know about the Savior of the world. You ought to know something about him. You ought to know something about him. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. See, that's why the man couldn't build his house right. He couldn't see afar off. Built that house and washed away. Washed it right away. Some of your faith gonna get washed right away. When that storm comes, gone. Let's, folks. Pastor. We got this reward society. Thought about this. Why should I have this kind of faith? What's my reward? You ever hear that? What you gonna give me? If I follow Christ, what do I get? How about that? You ever thought about that question? Here's what you get. A house that is steady and solid. Unshaken in circumstances. You're gonna go through, folks. Okay? You're gonna go through. Here's our benediction. You want an unshaken house, solid, steady. When the rain comes and the storm comes, you steady. Because you can't leave nobody if you fall apart every time the storm comes. Who gonna follow you? Seriously, who gonna follow you? Every time the storm comes, fall apart. Them storms are given to you. Those are blessings in a way. I always say, you know, I lost my mother at a young age. She was young. She was young. My mother was 57. You don't know how many people I've ministered to that have lost their loved ones at a young age. And I say, you know what? Cherish the time you have with your loved one. But it also makes me more particular, more determined to preach the gospel. So the folks that under this ministry won't die lost. So many folk dying lost in church all their life and don't know nothing. Dying lost. Being entertained straight to hell. Jude 1:24. We talk about it. I could do the benediction now. He said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Falling into apostasy, falling into to the sea of forgetfulness, falling into hell and never returning. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, John 3:16, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How about that? With exceeding joy. This joy we have here now. You know what? I watch Jake with the babies, and I know they bring them a joy, but there ain't nothing going to be like the joy of stepping in God's presence. Amen. Nothing going to be. This is just a precursor here. Amen. That's why the Word of God said we got to get new bodies. We got to get new bodies, glorified bodies, to be able to even handle the glory of God. Yes, Lord. So don't worry about your hands. You got the arthritis. That's just reminding you that you need to be ready. Yeah. You can't do the things we used to do. Like I said, Deacon Oliver got the Velcro on today. You know? Beard says she's still struggling with that eye. That's what? She's going to get some new eyes. Yeah. You're going to be able to see the glory of God. Some of y'all come in here. I see some folk coming here with canes today. And you know what? And just getting in here, guess what? You're just getting close to home. Amen. Almost done. Almost done. We don't like, I'm going to die. Well, if you feel that way, you probably built your whole life on sand. But you ought to be like, I'm getting close. Me and Cindy both be forgetting stuff. I get in the car, we ready to go. Oh, I forgot something. I go in and I come back out and get ready to go. She forgot something. I said, it's going to be rough. I said, it's going to be rough getting out of the garage in a couple more years. But we just go back in the house and it ain't going nowhere. But all the stuff happens. Stuff happens. Letting you know. Get ready. Think the song go, people get ready? Because the train is coming. Precious Lord, we thank you. Thank you for Father God giving us the blueprints. What we do with the blueprints is up to us. But Father, you said in your word that he who doeth not is like a foolish man. Father, we don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. But you said a wise man build his spiritual house upon a rock. Father God, would give us the tools necessary to penetrate that rock so we will be braced into it and we won't move. We won't move. Because the rock don't move. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, it said, let a man take earnest heed of himself, lest he move. You're not moving, Father God. You said in your word, same yesterday, today, forevermore, you're not moving. The world is moving rapidly, Father God. There's an increase of knowledge. The world is changing, Father God. But you said in your word, I'll never change. And I have a responsibility to preach a never-changing gospel. Father, I pray.